Here we go. Time to go home on a Thursday with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, and you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Very busy Thursday show this hour. Kevin Bowen from 93.5, 107.5, The Fan down in Indianapolis is going to be joining us coming up about 30 minutes from now. So many things to talk about with the Indianapolis Colts, including injury news. A surprise injury that didn't happen in the game. It happened yesterday at practice, and it's going to cost one of the Colts starters the rest of the season. We'll tell you what that news is and find out everything else on the injury front with Kevin Bowen coming up at 30 minutes. Also on the way in our next hour, Dylan Sin prepping to cover the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the USC Trojans. We'll talk to Dylan Sin about a preview of that game. At 5:20, Tommy Schegler is going to join us in his weekly slot at 5:35. Parkview Sports Medicine Director will give us his thoughts and picks for week one of the IHSAA State Football Tournament. It is round one of the sectionals for Class 1A through 4A. He'll give us his picks, but not before I give you my picks. It's another edition of the High School Football Picks of the Week presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic, and that will come up at 5:08 this afternoon. Like we said, you can always connect with the show. Questions, comments, suggestions, fire away at 46862, 46862. Last night, Pacers got their season underway. Man, they were rolling over Charlotte, leading by 23 points and then gave up a 24-0 run. That is not the way to close out a basketball game. Pacers end up falling to Charlotte when the Hornets get two free throws with 5 seconds left on the clock. And the Hornets win it 123-122. Very disappointing loss for the Pacers. You'd call it a bad loss when you lead by 23 on the road. You need to be able to put it away, especially in the third quarter. The Pacers weren't able to do that, and they weren't able to do it because of defense. From that point in the basketball game, the Pacers got outscored 65-41. And giving up 65 points in 9 minutes of the third quarter plus the fourth quarter, not good defense. Of course, the Charlotte Hornets got hot, led by none other than LaMelo Ball, who ended up with 7-for-9 shooting from the three-point line, 31 points. Gordon Hayward got hot in the fourth quarter, had 15 of his 27. He ended up with 10 of 22 shooting, 2 of 4 from long range. As a team, the Hornets hit 42% from beyond the arc, the Pacers 36%, but a real bright spot for the Pacers turned out to be the rookie, Chris Duarte. 9 for 15 from the field, 6 of 9 from long distance, added 5 rebounds, 27 points. Domantas Sabonis led the way with 33 on 13 of 19 shooting. Sabonis also had a double-double with 15 rebounds. You had Malcolm Brogdon with 28 and not an efficient 28. 3 for 10 from distance, 8 for 20 from the field. And Justin Holiday, even a decent night with 11 points, 4 of 10 shooting, but did not shoot well from distance. 1 of 7 when he got behind the arc. Miles Turner, yeah, all of 9 points, 7 rebounds. For Turner. But the night belonged to the rookie. That was the talk after the game, was Chris Duarte, his very first NBA game, coming out scoring 27 points and doing it with high efficiency. Caleb, do you know the last Pacers rookie to start his first game? And I know you're going to know this because you're an encyclopedia of knowledge, but who was the last Pacer that was a rookie to start his first game? Of course, everybody will think O'Neal, Granger, Paul George, and all those answers would be wrong.
Incorrect. Yeah, well, Jermaine O'Neal wasn't even a rookie when he joined the Pacers. That was a trade. This particular player, I actually have an autographed photograph with way back in the day in about 2003 or so when I was a kid, but that player would be Jamal Tinsley.
You've got it. Last rookie.
He had a couple of games with 20-plus assists in his rookie year as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, good night for Duarte. And I mean, the Pacers, this is what they thought they could get from him. I don't think they thought they could get this much this fast, especially some of the shots that he hit. Caleb, I know it'd be a sore subject if I asked if you watched the game, because I know the answer to that, because I saw all the complaints on Twitter last night, because you're not alone.
Honestly, last season I thought, okay, whatever, it's 2020, everything's screwed up, but this is still a problem, and I'm starting to wonder, at what point does the NBA step in, because they realize there are fans they're missing out on, fans like me and younger who want to watch, but also would prefer to use a streaming service over cable or satellite. I'm not going to switch my TV provider. I have no plans. Do I want to watch the Pacers? Absolutely. But I think it's getting ridiculous that I don't have access.
And it's not just Pacers. My understanding is Sinclair Broadcasting actually has all of the Bally Sports regional networks that were formerly the Fox Sports regional networks. Most all of the regional networks are the ones that have the local coverage for the NBA. And so this is not just a little Midwestern problem where the NBA wouldn't care about it. This covers a lot of markets where people are starting to cut the cord, cut the cable, and end up going to the streaming services, and they're not able to get NBA basketball, especially for their hometown team. They can still get some of the national broadcasts, because still some of the streaming services have...
One whole game this year for the Pacers on national TV. One.
Is that the only one? I mean, because when you say national TV, are you talking ABC, ESPN, TNT? Are you talking all of the above?
Yep.
The combination of all of those, they only have one game.
Yep.
That's going to be a national broadcast.
That is the schedule.
Wow. Do they flex that schedule at all? Is that a schedule that's going to be in?
I mean, there could be games picked up, but I don't understand.
It leaves you knowing at this point that 81 of the 82 games you will not be seeing.
Yeah, and I'd like to see the league do something about it, and it doesn't seem like they really care about these fans.
I don't know. I mean, it's the thing is, you know who it favors is the younger fan, which is what the NBA is trying to go after. They're trying to become younger, hipper. They're trying to capture that 20-something crowd, and maybe they feel like they've got an opportunity right now, that baseball is not fast enough for the younger fan, that football, for some reason, maybe it's too expensive for the 20-something crowd. Maybe they feel like they can capture the attention of the 20-something sports fan, but they're not going to do it if they don't keep up with the streaming. And, you know, it's just as important as streaming is just as important as basically being on social media anymore. Streaming TV is the wave right now. You've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. My son's been telling me about it. I've got my niece and my nephew that are telling me about it. Yes, I get it. It's popular. But as long as I hear these arguments, I ain't switching, because I don't want to lose any of my sports, and especially come in here every day after a Pacers game and say, here's what the Pacers did. Sure wish I would have seen it. Unfortunately, like you, Caleb, but this one, I don't know if you wanted to watch it. It ended up being a dramatic finish, but for the Pacers, they should have had this game put away. They had a 23-point second half lead. You get a 23-point second half lead, you got to be able to defend well enough, score enough offensively, put the game away. Don't let a team like Charlotte. This is not the Milwaukee Bucks you're dealing with. This is not the Brooklyn Nets, who have offensive weapons that can get hot. This is the Charlotte Hornets, a team that is at best a marginal playoff team, at best, and the Pacers let them basically steal one from them. Disappointing. Disappointing is probably a mild way to put it. A really bad loss is probably a little more direct.
Bad loss, I mean, it's the season opener, so it's not a deal breaker. I think, to me, the big takeaway, Chris Duarte, from the highlights that I've seen, looks really good. The fact that he started and was an instant contributor, I mean, that's huge, especially having LeVert out, having TJ Warren out. LeVert should be back pretty soon. Warren, we have no clue. So I think that's a huge deal to have a rookie who can come in and contribute, be a key guy right away.
And it was the variety of shots that he was able to hit, because he hit threes from the step back. He hit threes on the catch and shoot. He hit threes right over the top of defenders. He was able to attack the basket. He did things a variety of ways and showed great confidence in doing so. And you expect that from an older rookie. In fact, he's one of the oldest rookies to play his first game at 24 years old. It's since 2010 or something like that. I know it's been a number of years since there's been a rookie 24 years old in the NBA. So good night for Duarte. Not a good second half of the Indiana Pacers. They fall. John Conchar, by the way, did have regular rotation minutes last night. Memphis was able to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers on their home floor. And Conchar, I think, ended up with about 19 minutes, but he, last year he would get into the rotation and then all of a sudden completely sit, and we didn't know what was going on with Conchar, why he wasn't playing. So at least it's nice to start the season in regular rotation. He was one of the first two or three off the bench. He ended up with 19 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the floor, had 6 rebounds, 4 points, as Memphis beat Cleveland 132-121. More bad news for the Colts. Yesterday at practice, Julian Blackman tore his Achilles tendon. What else could go wrong for the Colts this season? It's like a curse. It's a curse. There's a black cloud over West 56th Street because the Colts just continue. As they get guys healthy, then they lose someone else. And I think I saw a list of 17 players or something like that that have already missed time this year due to injury. Julian Blackman out for the season, big loss. He's a guy that comes up, makes tackles in the open field. I think he's better in coverage than Kari Willis, the other young Colts safety. Blackman is going to be a hit. Meanwhile, the Colts, I don't know if it was in response to this, but the Colts needed, quote, operational flexibility. And so they went out and they restructured T.Y. Hilton's contract. Now, to me, this is one more case of Chris Ballard not having things properly aligned and having to go out to the most veteran player on this Colts roster and say, hey, by the way, I know you're only on a one-year deal, and it's probably not the amount of money that you were hoping to make, because apparently he had a bigger offer for him at Baltimore and he ended up coming back to the Colts. But yet we still would like you to restructure the contract. And T.Y. Hilton, being a company man, was able to get that done. And it saves the Colts, a couple of million bucks on the salary cap for this season, the way they restructured it. And they took money that was supposed to be regular pay and turned it into like a signing bonus. And then they moved money into dead cap money next year. I don't know how they do it, Caleb, but somehow the Colts freed up some salary cap money.
This is a team that had $642,000 in cap space. And now I believe it's, what is it, like $2.5 million?
Yes, $2.5 to $3 million that they've got available. And I don't know what the move is going to be, but you feel like with the trade deadline coming up in another week or so that
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. So even less than a week, that the Colts are going to be looking at making a move for someone in some position. Now, the question is, what position could that be? I've got my philosophy, and I think it all comes down to what's happening down in Miami and Houston. And here's my scenario that I think could play out. First of all, if you're Houston, you've seen how Davis Mills has performed. Deshaun Watson does have value, not the kind of value that he would have had if he didn't have all of the criminal issues and the criminal complaints going on around him. But Houston clearly is done with Deshaun Watson. The question is, who wants him? Miami seems to be that suitor. They're ready to move on from Tua as a starter or completely? Because if I'm Houston, do I want Tua? Do I want to take on Tua? Do I get a franchise guy that I feel I can build around? Because if you don't feel like you're going to build the future around Tua, then why do you want to trade for him? I would trade Watson, try to get a couple of extra picks rather than take on Miami's unwanted quarterback. Davis Mills isn't horrible. He may not be great, but I don't know that Tua is that much of an upgrade that you get rid of Deshaun Watson, and instead of getting picks, you end up getting Tua. So I'm thinking, okay, if Miami can keep Tua and get Deshaun Watson, it may be more appealing to Miami, but then it makes Jacoby Brissett expendable. and they would probably have to free Jacoby Brissett's salary. And who needs a backup quarterback? Oh, that's right, the Colts, the place that Jacoby Brissett played at. And maybe the Colts could be able to move Marlon Mack because Miami does need a running back. I don't think they had anybody run for more than like 40 yards in their last game. So maybe Miami takes on Mack. The Colts can take on Brissett. The Colts then would have a backup quarterback in place. They could go ahead and get rid of Brett Hundley. They can develop Sam Ehlinger. Ehlinger can learn from a guy who knows the system pretty well and Jacoby Brissett. Everything would work perfectly. Maybe. But it would all depend on what Houston wants back for Deshaun Watson. And honestly, Caleb, is Tua the guy that you want in Houston? Because I feel like Houston would be better off to go complete rebuild, go out and try to draft a quarterback, go ahead and tank the rest of the season, get a top pick, get the quarterback that you want, whether you sign him in free agency or you draft him. But I don't see where you're getting an upgrade in Tua.
No. I mean, you have the only upgrade is that you throw out a second-year player over a rookie quarterback at the moment, but that rookie quarterback has been
I mean, he's
decent.
Okay, but the thing is, Tua hasn't been great. There's a reason Miami is looking to move on from Tua, because they don't see him as the future. He doesn't throw deep. He's not necessarily overly accurate. I just don't see why Houston would want to take on Tua to dump Deshaun Watson. If I'm Houston, I'm asking for all the picks I can possibly get. Maybe there's a player that's in the mix that Houston could take advantage of, but they'd have to be young. They'd have to be a young player that's not going to cost me a lot of salary, and somebody that I feel like I can re-sign and get an extension and maybe keep around for a while. But I don't know if Tua's that guy. I feel like he's just basically a patch that you know is going to get pulled off in a year or two. It makes no sense. So if the Dolphins keep Tua as an insurance policy, because here's the other thing about this, Caleb, is Deshaun Watson, we don't know what his future is going to be. I mean, the guy could end up in jail. We don't know. As an insurance policy to picking up Deshaun Watson, don't you want to still have Tua available in Miami in case something does happen that Deshaun Watson is suspended by the NFL or becomes incarcerated and you can't play him? I mean, Miami, it'd be a smart move to probably keep Tua and move on from Brissett.
I'd want the quarterback who's on the rookie deal to keep him because he's cheap. And if he works out, great. If he doesn't, it's not a high risk.
I'll bet Tua's not costing the Dolphins any more than Brissett is costing the Dolphins. I mean, I'll bet there's not a big difference in price because Tua is still on the rookie deal. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Got to keep moving. We'll take a break. We're coming back with some news about high school football. Caleb and I have to make our NFL picks, and Kevin Bowen standing by. He'll be joining us about 4:35. It's a Thursday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. You know, think about this, Caleb, and this is another thing we were talking about, Tua, and the situation that's happening in Miami where they're already looking to maybe make a trade and take the chances on Deshaun Watson. We did get a text, somebody obviously not a fan at all of Deshaun Watson, and I totally understand that right now with all of the complaints against him. But the Miami Dolphins were on the clock 2 years ago with the NFL draft at number 5 with a chance to make a decision between Tua and Justin Herbert. Would you say that's maybe one of the biggest bust picks in the top 10? I mean, Josh Rosen obviously didn't turn out to be a very good pick for Arizona. That didn't last more than a year, and Arizona was back taking another quarterback. But that probably was only because Arizona got the number 1 pick and decided on Kyler Murray. But the Dolphins had a shot at Justin Herbert and passed. They went with Tua instead. Big mistake. Big mistake.
I think Tua, to me, I mean, really good college player, but a lot of that was because of the people around him, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, I'm working on this, Caleb. I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. Trying to get ready for our picks because it is time for Pigskin Picks. What is this, week 7? Week 7 already for NFL Pigskin Picks, the NFL You Pick 'em contest, available for you to play right now at 1380thefan.com. Hey, even if you haven't played over the first 6 weeks, you can still play now and win weekly prizes and be eligible for that grand prize, 2 tickets to the Colts home opener in 2022. So here we go, ready to get in here and make our picks for week number 7. It starts tonight with Denver Broncos 3-3 at Cleveland, who's also 3-3. What we know, Baker Mayfield out for the Cleveland Browns. That means that Case Keenum will start for Cleveland. For Denver, we expect it to be Teddy Bridgewater, but yet he is still listed as questionable. This is a complete coin flip for me. You said Jarvis Landry is going to be back, at least for Cleveland. I guess I will take the home team. Cleveland's desperate for a win here. And the fact that it's pretty good travel for Denver on a short week. Did they play last week? They didn't have a bye last week, did they?
Denver, you know, I cannot recall.
I'm just going to go ahead and take Cleveland.
I'm taking Cleveland as well. Case Keenum has a lot of experience. Jarvis Landry back should be helpful.
All right. Well, we've got to go on pause here, or you can give me the next game on the list if you've got it.
Because I have it.
I just got kicked out because I wasn't officially logged in.
All right. Carolina at the New York Football Giants.
Carolina at Giants. Boy, this is a tough one, too, because Carolina's kind of tanked out a little bit. Then again, so the Giants. Saquon Barkley, he's still out. I'm going to make this quick, Caleb. I'm just going to go with Carolina.
Barkley was out of practice today. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going with Carolina as well.
The New York Jets in New England to take on the Patriots. A battle of rookie quarterbacks. And you know me, I like Mac Jones. I know who you like. Have you got enough courage here, Caleb, to take him
no.
on the road?
No, I liked Zach Wilson as a college player. I never had any druthers about him as an NFL player. I like New England.
And then Kansas City is in Tennessee. This one just basically because of my rooting interest, because somebody's got to knock off Tennessee, so I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I think they'll get the season kind of figured out here. I think with Tennessee, a big win over the Bills, but I think they'll take a step back just due to them being kind of inconsistent against these elite teams.
The Washington football team, 2-4, into Green Bay, Lambeau, to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Don't bet against the Packers at home. I've got Green Bay.
Green Bay as well.
Atlanta, Miami. Oh, this one.
Ugly.
We got to pick somebody here. Atlanta's got 2 wins. Miami just won. You got to wonder what's in the head of Tua. After the injury, then coming back, and all of the reports that are coming out of Houston that the trade is close and that the, is expected to be completed in the next few days. It is in Miami, but I'll tell you what, Caleb, I'm going to ride with the Falcons. Every time I pick the Falcons, they lose. So everybody that's listening to this, this is the most obvious pick of the week is for everyone else to take Miami, because every time I take Atlanta, they lose, but I'll take Atlanta.
I'm also taking Atlanta. All our picks are the same so far.
Cincinnati in Baltimore. Can the Ravens continue to win at home? Joe Burrow's going to give them a battle. I like Cincinnati in this game. For some reason, I'm kind of starting to believe in this Bengals team, but not enough to pick them. I'll take Baltimore.
I'm also taking Baltimore.
The Rams hosting Detroit. It's the quarterback bowl with the two teams that swapped quarterbacks in the offseason, but I'll go with Stafford and the Rams at home.
I like the Rams as well.
Raiders hosting the Eagles. I'll take Las Vegas.
Same. Our picks are the same. This is eerie.
This is just getting to be boring. Houston, Arizona. We're going to continue the pattern.
Arizona.
Dale. I mean, I know you're not going against Arizona. The Bears are at Tampa Bay. I have a belief that maybe we'll stay on pattern here because I've got Tampa Bay.
Agreed.
The New Orleans Saints, Seattle. Now, here's the thing. In Seattle, where they've lost a couple of home games already, and Seattle doesn't have Russell Wilson, I'm going with the Saints.
I'm also going with the Saints.
Oh, my goodness.
Just because it's Geno at quarterback. Not that he's played poorly, but, I mean, it's not Russell Wilson.
The Indianapolis Colts, San Francisco. I'm going to take, this is going to surprise you, and this maybe will will change things, but I'm going to take San Francisco. Unfortunately, I think the injuries, I think the road trip, San Francisco gets Garoppolo back. I'm going to take San Francisco 24-20.
I have been all over the place on this pick. I've changed it several times. Both these teams haven't beaten any teams of, you know, any status or any kind of playoff aspiration teams. They're both very mediocre at the moment. And my initial gut instinct was to pick San Francisco, so I'm actually changing my pick to San Francisco, 27-24 Niners.
Wait, you're taking San Francisco 27-24. I'm taking San Francisco 24-20. We picked 100% the same and even have a very similar score for the Sunday night game.
I literally have changed it back between the Colts and Niners a couple of times, but I got to always go with your gut. That's one of my rules, so I'm going with the Niners.
It hurts me to bet against the Colts, but, you know, I just have to be a realist here that these injuries are just piling up. And maybe we'll get some good news on maybe Quentin Nelson and some others, but right now I'm just kind of down because of the news about Julian Blackmon. If you didn't hear it earlier, Colts safety Julian Blackmon tore his Achilles at practice yesterday. He is out for the rest of the season. And we'll talk more about that with our guest on the other side of the break. Kevin Bowen is going to join us here on the Sports Rush. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you've got any questions, comments, or suggestions, go ahead and fire away. Let us know what's on your mind on this Thursday. We've got to talk Colts football, maybe a little Pacers basketball if we get to it. I'm not sure because there's a lot of news breaking with the Colts just by themselves. And to talk about it, we're joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline from 93.5-107.5 The Fan down in Indianapolis. It's Kevin Bowen. And, boy, I don't know which story to start with. Let's start with the injury news. How about that? That's something new we haven't talked about so far this year. The latest, Julian Blackmon out for the year. This not only a surprise, but another hurtful injury for the Colts.
Yeah, it's absolutely crushing, Brett. There's no two ways around it. I think when it happens on the practice field, too, that adds to it. But yeah, torn Achilles yesterday in practice for Blackmon. You know, I know he might not have the accolades of some other guys on this football team, but I don't think the list is very long in terms of guys that this coaching staff feels the best about, the safest about, you know, a trustworthy player before you get to a guy like Blackmon. Yes, he's a free safety, but that kind of is selling short his playmaking. I see him make plays at every level of the defense, which I think was kind of the big knock on Malik Hooker, and Blackman's taking that to the next level. You know, when he came back, Brett, remember as a rookie, he came back early from the ACL, missed the first game of the season, tore his ACL his final year at Washington in the Pac-12 title, Utah, played in week two, and then went on to play the second most snaps of any defensive player. You look at him this year, he's played again, the second most snaps of any defensive player. So he's a very, very important football player, very productive. And unfortunately, there's just not kind of a ready-made fill-in by any means.
Well, and that'll lead us to something else I want to talk about, but I do want to stay on the injury front. T.Y. Hilton, we saw what happened with him when he came up lame on the catch in the game on Sunday. What about T.Y. Hilton? Is there going to be a decision on him sometime soon, or is he still a game-time type decision?
Yeah, didn't practice today. You know, part of me thinks, Brett, he needs to practice tomorrow. I know Hilton's kind of a different breed, but, you know, I look at the soft tissue, and, you know, now that you're dealing with kind of Paris Campbell's situation, obviously him not going to be available to you. Again, part of me thinks that, you know, typically, Hilton would be good to go, but he's had a quad issue in the past. You know, he just seems like maybe a little bit risky here. And the Colts have certainly played it a little bit more hesitant, Frank Reich, than I think he typically is with a guy like T.Y. Hilton there. So that'll be one to watch tomorrow. Still no Braden Smith, so he's not going to play. Kamoko Turi's looking at a second straight missed game. Rock Ya-Sin is going to be out. So when you talk about the passing game, both sides of the ball, the Colts are dealing with some, you know, very difficult injuries. The good news is, I guess, is if you look at the weather for Sunday night, it looks horrific. We're talking torrential downpour and tons of wind, so maybe it will be more of a run game focus.
Well, and that's it. The secondary beat up pretty bad for the Colts. Xavier Rhodes dealing with an ankle. Rock Ya-Sin also dealing with the ankle injury. You're talking about, as we just mentioned, the injury to Julian Blackman. But the Colts made a move, and I don't know if this is kind of a move that is a response to what happened to Blackman or if it's something that the Colts are planning outside of the secondary. But they renegotiate midseason with T.Y. Hilton, who was only on a one-year deal. They kind of change around his contracts a little bit to free up some cash. What do you think that means?
Yeah, I wouldn't read anything into it in terms of the Blackman thing. I mean, maybe Paris Campbell, but still, I think it's something that you're thinking about a long time before the season. You know, the trade deadline's a week from Tuesday. I think there could have some implications there. And Brett, not to get too deep into the cap situation for the Colts, but they aren't in a great situation compared to past years. Past years, they've had tons of cap space. They want to make an in-season move. They're great. They've got plenty of options, or can make moves there. That's not the case this year. They're very tight on the cap. And so this does, I think, help you if and when you need to make a move down the stretch. Like I said, the trade deadline in about 10 days as well. So, I think those are all factors. And, you know, I mentioned in my story, I want to send by thefan.com, I mentioned a few free agent safeties. Kenny Vaccaro, Trey Boston, you know, two guys the Colts have brought in for visits in years past. You know, what about trading Marlon Mack for a safety? You know, is that something that you explore here in the next week or so? I think those are all things that you have to look into.
I gave my whole scenario on Marlon Mack, but not enough time to get into it. But anyway, let's talk about good news. Is there anything positive? I know I thought I heard you guys talking about Deo this morning. Is there something happening with Deo? Is he close to getting back?
Dio Odebango.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Trying to say it is like, geez, I can barely even spell it.
Tried to cut it short and still got it wrong.
So he is back to practice. Again, this, for those that, you know, are unfamiliar with the name, this is the rookie out of Vanderbilt, second round pick. Brett, I don't know if you caught this earlier, but obviously for your listeners who didn't hear it, I think Chris Ballard has never loved a draft pick more than Dio Odebango.
Wow.
I know that's extremely high praise, but I've never seen Ballard gush over player length, effort. We know Ballard's obsessed with the defensive line. All those reasons, I think, check the box on Dio. You know, Ballard talked in the draft process about when he called around to kind of SEC coaches and asked them, all right, who's the guy that no one's talking about in your conference? They would say Dio Odebango. That was the name that most popular came up. So towards Achilles in the draft process, getting ready for the combine, I think for the Senior Bowl, actually, you know, fell to the second round. You know, back to practice this week. He can't play in a game for two more weeks. That's part of being on the non-football injury list like he was. So won't play Sunday in San Francisco, won't play next Sunday against Tennessee, but that Thursday nighter against the Jets, he could play that game. Again, you got to see where he's at. Obviously, with Eric Fisher and the Achilles, they toured around similar time frames. They've been a lot more patient with the rookie. I think the nice thing about Dio, too, is he is playing defensive line. You could rotate him in. You know, it's not like you got to throw him in there for 70 snaps. So you can kind of ease him along. But that group has underperformed. The young guys have continued to underperform as well. You need a jolt, and we'll see if he gets thrown in the mix here in a few weeks and what happens.
What about Big Q, Quentin Nelson? How close is he?
Yeah, back to practice this week. You know, considering his absence is only 3 weeks, you would think that he would have a chance, you know, to play on Sunday night. The Colts are definitely not committing to that. But again, you would think that he would have a chance. He's not on the injury report because he remains on IR. So I think that is something to, you know, again, keep an eye on. Frank Reich said yesterday, if Nelson comes back, when he comes back, they're going to take Chris Reed, who's filled in really well at left guard. They're going to put him at right guard and, you know, kind of share time with Mark Glowinski. So Glowinski will still start, but Chris Reed will get some action there at right guard. So, looks like Nelson could be back. Again, not a definite for Sunday night, but could be back.
So Tough loss last night for the Pacers to open the season. A game it looked like they had well in hand early in the third quarter. They let it get away. What was your takeaway?
Man, so much good. You know, I tweeted out last night, Brett, during that third quarter. I go, am I watching the Colts-Ravens game? You know, and this is the fourth quarter, and Lamar Jackson is now LaMelo Ball. I mean, that's like what it felt like to me. But, you know, an 82-game season, I don't want to ignore that it's a crushing loss. You could be up 25 on the 98 Bulls in the third quarter, and it'd still be a crushing loss. But there were a lot of positives, and no more than Chris Duarte. I mean, his poise, how calm he is, his ability to kind of fill it up. I was co-hosting today with Charlie Clifford from Wish TV, one of our local TV stations here in Indy. And I was asking, you know, okay, any kind of NBA comparisons with a guy like Chris Duarte? And he brought up the name Allen Houston. I felt like that was a pretty good sort of comparison. Again, it's very early, but watching Duarte at Oregon, scoring was never an issue. And you saw the maturity there. Last night, I was kind of in awe of the shots he made. And, yeah, he hit a little bit of a rough stretch in the third quarter, but then hit some big ones in the fourth again. And I actually thought the ball should have gone to him or Brogdon there on the final possession. I thought 4.5 seconds was too long to expect Domas to get a good look there. Kevin Pritchard has been a horrible drafter in his NBA tenure. The pick of Duarte looks like an absolute home run.
Kevin, always appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the weekend. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Brett.
Yep, Kevin Bowen from 93.5/107.5, the Fan down in Indianapolis, joining us to talk Colts and Pacers. And, of course, as we talked, Julian Blackman, the latest news for the Colts, not good as far as the injuries. Blackman out for the season, tore his Achilles at practice yesterday. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. Still on the way, your high school football picks of the week, presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. Also, Dylan Sin will join us. We'll talk Notre Dame football as the Irish get set to take on USC. Do the Irish still have a shot at making it into the college football playoffs despite their loss to Cincinnati? We'll talk to Dylan about what he thinks it'll take for the Irish. Also, Tommy Shegler joins us at 5:35. He'll make some high school picks for the sectionals. It's all coming up on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Don't forget to get signed up for the NFL You Pick'em contest. Get signed up before the game tonight. You can make your picks for week number 7 and have a chance at our weekly prize. Also, you can be part of our ongoing season-long contest to award 2 tickets to the Colts home opener in 2022. All you have to do to play is get signed up at 1380thefan.com. Completely free to play, easy to win, especially considering you're going up against people like Caleb and I. I shouldn't talk. I should actually not take any credit away from Caleb, because I've been the bad one so far this year. In fact, I'm starting to copy Caleb's paper. If you listen to the segment earlier today, you'll realize now that I have wised up and I have decided to make the same picks as Caleb. I just make them first and he doesn't know I've copied. We have 100% this week, don't we, Caleb? 100% on the same picks.
Yeah, and I mean, these were the initial picks I made the other day. And with the exception, I was waiting on the Browns, Broncos, just to know the status of Baker Mayfield. So
I wonder if we are same picks. Not only are we picking the same together, I wonder if we're also picking the same as the fan vote, because you know, if you don't make picks, it just goes to the fan vote.
I think we went all to the fan vote.
So we basically just did what we really didn't need to do. It would have done it for us if we didn't make our picks. But don't forget to make your picks. Get logged on now, 1380thefan.com, and play NFL You Pick'em, weekly prizes, and the chance to win 2 tickets to the Colts home opener in 2022. Still coming up here on the Sports Rush on this Thursday edition, it's time to find out who wins, who loses in sectional play. We've got the high school football picks of the week presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic coming up in about 20 minutes. Also on the way, Dylan Sin from the Journal Gazette and Tommy Shegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director. He'll tell us what he expects to see out of this weekend's sectional play. It all comes up before we turn it over to Justin Kenny and the High School Football Coaches Show at 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.